Fifth chapter. This morning, I want to rehearse three items for you. First, the Eastern Gate. Second, the Northern Gate. And third, the Southern Gate of the temple that Ezekiel was shown in the Bible. It's hard to place this temple. There's never been a temple like it. It's an unusual temple. And when I read it, you will not be able to follow what I say. And I don't know that many people have preached on this. They've probably made an attempt to preach on it. For example, is this the millennial temple? Is this after the millennial temple? Is it the eternal temple? Or are we actually in heaven? There is no temple but Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, of which we are a part. We know now that we are called the temple of the living God. There was the first temple, the one that was built after the tent in the wilderness when they traveled about. There was the second temple, but they call that the first, which actually was made of stone. It actually was filled with gold, and it looked like a temple. And it was similar to other temples that were built. It's a physical place. But then the third one was the restored temple in the Old Testament that was not as glorious as the first temple, like Solomon built, having King David gather all the materials, gathered the craftsmen, and finally had it built. And he is the one that a man of blood had to kill the enemies in order to build that temple and restore again true worship on the earth. But he didn't fully understand it, even though he was the king, because it's the king's business to build the temple in the ancient world. Always the kings had the money, had the skills, and knew how to build a temple. But Herod also, the bad guy, remodeled the temple even though he was an Idumean. He came from Mount Seir. And even though he wasn't Jewish, in fact, the Idumeans hated Israel with a perfect hatred. But since they were relatives, God informed them, do not harm the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Idumeans, Esau. Don't do that, because I have plans for them and I don't want you to mess it up. But now we have Ezekiel's temple, which wasn't a restored temple, wasn't even like the Davidic temple with the tent with the Ark of the Covenant in it. But then Jesus said, we are the temple. He was the temple when he was on the earth, the dwelling place of the living God, but now we are the temple of the living God because we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But there could be, maybe, as far as I know, no one knows. It could be the eternal temple, or it could be something. But whatever it is, it represents three things. The Eastern Gate, the Northern Gate, and the Southern Gate. But it's not like any temple you've ever heard of. For example, this building is about 70 feet long. And that's only half of one gate. On the east side, where only God enters, and when he enters, no one else can come through the south or the north gate. The priests come through the north gate, the king comes from the south gate. They are at least 150, if not more, feet long. So that's the entire building. But they could be longer, because it depends upon whether you use a cubit, which is about the length between the elbow and the fingers, about 18 inches, but add 2 more inches and it's a royal cubit. So it's hard to say what cubit is being used. So it might be 20 inches, it might be 18 inches, we don't really know. We don't use cubits anymore. And so whatever this is, it has a spiritual meaning that I can tell you. Why does God only enter the temple through the eastern gate? And the only one. No one else can enter through the eastern gate. But in all the other temples, they had several gates that you could go through. But everyone came through. But now, only God. So that's speaking something to us about the nature of God. God has always been a loving father, never an angry judge. God has always been a loving father, never an angry judge. So, because of that, you'll never face the wrath of God, ever. Because he mitigates, he modifies, he alters his wrath only for wicked people whom God knows in their heart, because he has foreknowledge, that they'll never turn to God. So he doesn't not punish righteous people, he only punishes wicked people. But he counts us as righteous if we believe in his name that he is a righteous God. So you'd have to believe he's a loving father and he's never been an angry judge and he never can be. Yet his wrath goes forth for all the wicked who for unbelief do not enter into the kingdom of God on the earth and on the new heaven and on the new earth. So the wicked, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So they will perish because of their wickedness. Everyone is born that way. No. Everyone is conceived that way in the womb. So when you're conceived in the womb, God with his right hand. Now, of course, God doesn't have hands. But with his right hand, the Bible says, he writes with his index finger on your heart saying, this one belongs to me and no other God. I'm the only God. And so I write on it, this one belongs to not an emperor, not a king, not a priest, no one but me. So, as you're conceived in the womb, you already belong to God. No matter if you die in the womb, if you're aborted, no matter what, God never lets anyone stand between you and him. You belong to God. So God created you that way, and since he's a loving father, and even if you went to hell on your own cognizance, he still loves you unconditionally. His only amazement is that after sinning against him, after breaking the Ten Commandments, after violating your conscience, after killing his own son, he still loves you unconditionally. He's only amazed that you didn't take his pardon. He's only amazed that after you're guilty under the law, you didn't turn to the gospel and get the good news. Even churches today could be lukewarm, or they could be hot. So the Kliaros is lukewarm, but hot is zestos in the Greek language. The New Testament is written in Greek. And that word means you have a zeal, you have a compassion to know God. However, because of sin, Adam and Eve was first. Because of that sin, Adam didn't even sin, he just ate the apple. So, how clever was Adam? And since his wife offered it to him, God said, because you listened to your wife, you didn't listen to me. And so, you're not innocent, you're guilty. So the sins of Adam and Eve were counted by God as unrighteousness. So now what? Now what will God do if you are not righteous, if you are an unbeliever? Because even though he heard the word of God, even though he knew by natural law, do good, don't do bad. Avoid bad. Eschew bad. Always do what's right, good, true, just. Always. So, because of that, the whole world is guilty. Because of that, everyone here who was conceived by God belongs to God, and yet you're guilty. Now, I wish I could say, could I say, amen? Amen. Everyone's born that way. Everyone was conceived that way. So everybody's guilty because by the time you're 2 years old, you'll prove it. You'll prove it. By the time you're probably one and a half, if you learn the language of your parents, you will say something like this, no. That's rebellion. That's called enmity against God without a cause, because he's a loving father. And so, since everyone, you're not born that way, you just are that way, not by existence, not by your he created you perfectly because you're his creation and you belong to him. But he holds you accountable for deciding to say no to your parents. Take that shirt off right now. You're going to church today, I want a white shirt on.
I don't want to.
That is rebellion. That little child has decided to lie, cheat, deceive, not obey, under no authority. Every child is like that. Every child, sooner or later, you make the cookie and you say to them, do not eat this cookie. This is for a party tonight. I don't want you to touch one of these. You understand? But as soon as you leave the room, as soon as you leave the room, they won't touch it. They won't do anything except get real close to it. And then they'll just touch it. They didn't do anything but just touch it. And then, after a while, they don't see anybody coming, so they'll pick up the cookie and just nibble on it, just a little bitty bit, not enough to make any difference. And then they could put it back, but they decided just a little more. And pretty soon they have the whole thing devoured. Every little child does this. Every little kid does this. And then the parent comes in and sees the crumbs on your mouth. They just see it all over the place. And who did this? And the child says, I didn't. That's a lie. You just lied. I didn't. And they said, the crumbs are on your mouth. Oh. And now, not only that, they will say, I don't know how they got there. I could tell a lot of stories, but little kids, before they're two, they've certainly learned to sin. They've certainly learned to rebel. So everybody's guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you didn't live up to your glorious creation. That is, to be a steward of God, to be a servant of God, to be a trustee of God, to be a creature of God that always gives an account to God for what you decided and what you did. And so everyone is guilty before God under the natural law, under the revealed law. As a matter of fact, the revealed law was given to Moses to make law even worse than the natural law, which is that you violate your conscience, because everybody has a conscience. It signals you, that's wrong, that's right. Don't do that, do that. And so everybody knows. But this one was given so that sin would become exceedingly sin to all the Jewish people. Not you and I, just Jewish people. And yet to this day, the Jewish people are still trying to please God by behaving themselves under Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And yet, when they meet each other, if they're Orthodox Jews, serious, they say, are you keeping Torah? How's it going? Well, I tried my best. How many know that it's not in the Bible? Trying your best, because God defines it. Be ye holy as I am holy, and be ye righteous as I am righteous, and be ye perfect as I am perfect. I'll be the standard. Well, God, like that is, he's kind of hurt because you didn't do what he said. And he knows that you did it from almost birth. The only reason they don't do it ahead of time is because they don't know the language. They don't know how to say no. But sooner or later, every child will say no. Everyone. No matter what. Nobody is born righteous. And sooner or later, the Jewish people will learn that God sent his son into the world to redeem the world. He died on the cross to show not himself. He died on the cross not to show himself. He died on the cross to say, this is the love I have for my Father in heaven. So he manifested, he made known the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God. This is all he came to do. I didn't come on my own account. I came in my Father's name. He sent me below. I'm still son of God, but I'm also son of man, so I can die for you, forgive you, offer a pardon, pay the debt you owe. So God is a good God. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Yeah, that's powerful. Because God, knowing you're not perfect from the word go, you're not perfect. Even in the womb, you're not perfect. And even after you get out, you decide to do your own thing, not to do God's will. So since you're all perfect, the book of John tells us that in the third chapter, you are already condemned. The judgment has already been made because you disobeyed his law. You did not love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and you did not love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody that's born of man, born of woman, they're guilty. Everyone's guilty. So you started out life that way. And that's why there's always trouble on earth, because there's no peace with God and there's no peace with your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. All. It sounds like all. It sounds like God means all. So since God means all, what are you going to do? And besides, the end of the law is love your neighbor as yourself, a second part to it. Love your neighbor, get along with other people, all of them. Who's my neighbor? Everyone. Golly. What about me? So everyone is born guilty and remaineth guilty all the time under the law. Under the law. So God got another idea. He had the idea from the beginning. Actually, it was the original idea, because he knows everything. And he knows that man will disobey me. Every man. Every man. Every man that's born into this world comes in as a sinner after Adam and Eve. So after them, Cain, for example, firstborn son. Remember Cain? Cain in Hebrew. That means that when he sinned, he had to be punished. And he said to God, God, your law is heavier. It's more than I can bear. Everyone who sees me will want to kill me. It's because I've killed my brother. Am I my brother's keeper? I hated him. I know it's wrong, but I did it. How many know that even though you're free to do wrong? Everyone is free. Because the law tells you what to do, but it doesn't have help if you don't. It doesn't have any provision. But God always made provision for everybody. He's the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. The world, the whole world, everyone that dwells on earth, from beginning to end. And since he was that Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, then the world became so wicked that he flooded the whole world. Forget the evolutionists and the, you know, all those that think it was only a local flood and so on. It was worldwide. It's even here in Texas. There's still dinosaur tracks in the river. They're still there. And they found them all over. And every time the world shifted from one side to the other, there was another layer added and so on and so forth. You can go down there and you can see every few feet there are dinosaur tracks, and then you go up a little bit and there's more. And there's people tracks in them. How do I know? I was there. I've actually led, I think my son's, David, are you here? Do you remember? When you were 12 years old, I led about 20-some kids, I don't remember how many, down to the Biloxi River, and we saw human footprints right next to dinosaur prints. We saw them. I'm not going to tell you the story, but the story is they don't want people, they want people to see it in the park, but actually there's farmland a little bit south of there, all the way to the road. And those farmlands have the same thing. The same layers are on the bottom of the Biloxi, and then another 3 feet, and there's another, and another, and another. And so they're all there. Not only that, one day David and I said, David, it's a bad year, and they don't want anyone to go into the park. So the park's shut down. But God gave me an idea. I'd like to have one of those rocks. I'd like to have a rock, because the skeptics in the world don't like the Bible to be literally true. And so they come and dig up tracks and then take them home, put them in the vault, or destroy them, because they don't want there to be evidence. What's this? So, but fortunately, a doctor down there, Dr. Bao, he has a little museum there, and he has a lot of things in the vault and so on and so forth. But he shows some of them, so you can see dinosaur tracks, human tracks, together in the same thing. But anyway, the first day we get there, we got about 25, 26, 27 kids with us, adults. And we drove on the farmland right next to the park. And then we went into the park and saw human handprints, human footprints. And we had one guy, really, really big guy, and he had a gigantic foot, and he put it in, I think, 13 or 14, and he put it in there, and it didn't even cover that track. It's like, wow, that guy was big. And so what the Bible says is actually literally true. It's literally true. And so there was a flood, and it was a worldwide flood. And it happened right here in Texas. In fact, you can go to a lot of places on Earth. There are still the bones they're digging up and so on and so forth, dinosaur tracks. And a few years ago, they uncovered, I think, 75 tracks that they had never dug up before. They dug it up, and now all those tracks are there, and the big tail that, you know, goes behind it, it's all there making stone out of things because it ossified over the years. And so anyway, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about God. I'm talking about that God literally made the world, destroyed it by water. The whole world was destroyed by water. But he said, the next time, I'll destroy it by fire. Well, that's coming. That hadn't come yet. How many know the world is not burned up yet? But it will. But it's not the way you think it is. He doesn't just scorch the earth. What he does is toss people that were disobedient to him, not taking the mercy, who are unbelievers, into the lake of fire. And that lake of fire lasts forever and ever and ever and ever, world without end. Now, that's not a cause of rejoicing. That's a cause of making us pray for people today to become believers. What does God say about your enemies? It says that your enemies are to be prayed for, forgiven, blessed, and in no way curse them. So even our enemies, and we can name a lot of them, a lot of people hate America today. Even Americans hate Americans today. But we can't. It's not possible. So I don't have any enemies in the world. I have people that hate me, but I don't hate them for hating me. I don't have any enmity toward them because I know they're ignorant of the truth that I found, and they're not ready for it. But they could be ready if I pray for them, bless them, honor them. I don't honor what they do, but I can honor them. But I also know they're ignorant of the truth. They don't know the truth that will set them free. So you don't have to be under a law. Did you know there are no laws in heaven? There are no laws in heaven. If there are no laws in heaven, everyone in heaven voluntarily obeys God. Want to. So the good angels are there. And the other angels will be in the lake of fire with the beast, the false prophet, and Satan himself. Satan's just a creature. It's just God's creature. Did you know that God could control him? Little kids think, you know, if I were God, I'd just poke him right in the nose. Well, that's not what God wants to do. But it was a good idea, a very good idea. I'd just hit him right in the nose. But little kids have a juvenile way of looking at the world. But we adults, well, of course, we're wiser. And sometimes we've actually given in to the devil himself. Sometimes we mix things that God says don't mix. And we divide things that God says don't divide. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And sometimes we sunder. And there are certain things that God wants to stay together, and he doesn't want them divided. And there are other things that God wants divided, church and state, and yet we join them together. So the United States is under not the Constitution, not even the Bible, but it's kind of under its own ideas. So many people today sin. Okay, there's your problem. Get rid of sin, you have a happy, peaceful, abundant life. That's what God says. God says who loves us, there's a standard in the world. It never, never, never changes. That standard is still absolutely the same today as it was in the beginning. So lying is still wrong. Cheating is still wrong. Stealing is still wrong. Committing adultery is still wrong. Murdering is still wrong. All those things that are in the Bible, They aren't to be, you have to avoid the bad things and do the right things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those nine fruits of the Spirit have to be followed by us. And that's what God wants you to do. However, the problem is sin. Even people that are Christians sin. Did you know that? That even in this church, we have one or two. I think, oh no, we have more than that, because there's two right there. And so, don't worry about it. God has already provided for all sin. When Jesus died on the cross, that was the end, right there. No one will ever go to hell because they broke the law. Does that mean you can sin because God's forgiving? No, it actually doesn't. It actually means the reason he delivered you from this evil world was so that you would live forever. So he didn't want you to live to sin. He wanted you to live forever. You have to have eternal life. And anyone that believes Jesus' words, trusts in him, the living word, because they believe his words written down in the book we call the Bible. So it's the only book that tells the truth. I'm sorry. All other religions are false. Mm-hmm. Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, because they're confused. Because all other religions are built on laws. Every religion, even Judaism, is built on laws. Not just the 10. The 613, and every other law they make up. Well, I tried my best, but that isn't in the Bible. You have to be perfect, as God is perfect. What about Christians? Oh, we believe by faith. Yes, you do, but you're also misbehaving. Well, that's because we're not perfect, and God is forgiving. Okay? Did you ask him? I think so. I've been to church several times. How many? So, people try to justify themselves. How many of you can't justify yourself? Either God justifies you or you ain't justified. That's it. Either God justifies you by the death of Jesus or you ain't justified. So, everybody here is justified. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. This is a small church and you wouldn't be here. Look at all these people, bad people. These people should be here. They should be hearing the good news. What does God care? Did you know that God is such a loving Father that he'll even hold out to the end before the great white throne judgment? He'll wait to the end because somebody might be saved between now and then. So everyone hears the good news, but somehow they don't want to believe it. But you'll never find joy and happiness and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So there's two things God wants. Though he's a loving father, and though he sent his son into the world to forgive the world of all sin, so that's over. All you have to do is believe. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. It's always free. Come by ye without money. Everything is free in heaven. And everything is free on earth. You can choose that if you want to. I do want to. I want to please God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and I want to love my neighbor as myself. How do you do it? By faith. Until he comes back again, I won't see it. But when I see him as he is, I will know that God wants me to actually not only do it by faith, he'll actually want me to feel it and understand all mysteries and do it just like he says. And then I'll be in heaven forever and ever and ever, world without end. Isn't it amazing? Anyone here in the sound of the voice that's going forth, it's from God. It's not me. Not me. I don't do any good works. I never have done a good work and I never will do a good work, not even for all eternity. So what about the good works you are to do? He does them for you, then he does them in you, then he does them through you. Chair 4, 5, and 6. In other words, the atonement amounts to three things. He has to, first of all, forgive you, but leave the sins in you. So how many know that you were born again, justified by faith, and then he left the sins in you? And so, even though I know I'm not supposed to do it, sometimes I do it. Or even though I'm not supposed to do it, sometimes I don't want to do it, but I end up doing it. And so, even Christians sin. Amen? I told you what to do with them. When they sin, forgive them. Bless them. Pray for them. Love them. That's what you're to do. Good. When they give you evil, give good back. That's a Christian. That's a mature Christian who's not only justified but sanctified and glorified. To God be the glory. And he wants peace not only with him, individually. Individuals should be mature in Christ or you won't make it to heaven. Now that scares you because you think, well, I don't think I'm perfect yet. Ah, that's true. You're not perfect yet. But you are perfect in heaven. And God then says, I sent my son, and the good that you must do, he'll do it for you, then he'll do it in you, then he'll do it through you. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. He will do it on your behalf, in your stead. You don't have to do it. It's free. So how many have that freedom? That truth will set you free. That truth will set you free. So all the smart people out there, smarts don't count. All the people that do good works, they don't count either. They're in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord keep the city, they wake up to watch and be guarded over the city, they wake up in vain. In other words, only God is your only hope. The only hope you have is a loving God, a loving Father who's kind, who's generous, who's forgiving, who's merciful, who wants to marry his son, Jesus. You'll be the wife of Jesus. All the men here will be part of the bride. All the women here will be called sons of God. So he mixes up his metaphors, but I'm not going to argue with God. Whatever he wants, that I'm for it. Right, because I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible, even though literally, if I took it literally, I would ignore the grammatical understanding of the Word of God, which is a metaphor is a metaphor. I am the door of the sheep. Well, he's not a door. What he means is, as a shepherd, the sheep are in the sheepfold. There's something they're in safely, and he lays in the door, so if the wolf comes or the bear comes or the lion comes, he's there to fend them off. King David had that job. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall never want. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul, myself, me. So you don't have to worry about anything because God is totally on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. If God is for me, and he's the one that made me, and now he can remake me, and he can give me anything he wants to do, I'm taking it. And I'm enjoying it. How many are happy all the time? By faith. Okay. I'll say it differently. How many are happy all the time because you believe God won't break his promise? There you have it. So, if we phrase it right, we'll get the right answer. God doesn't want you to do anything because he does everything, and if he does everything, you have nothing to do because you cannot do good works. You cannot save yourself. He's the only one that made you. He's the only one that gave you a new heart. He's the only one that can give you a new soul. He's the only one that can give you a new body. He's the only one. There isn't any other God. All the other gods are no gods at all. And he only loves the ungodly. And thank God we have a church full of people that were born ungodly, were conceived ungodly, and have acted ungodly. Hallelujah! That's exciting. What a pastor to have a church full of ungodly people. Because God only loves the ungodly. And this is what he says. He is the one that I believe looks around if he can find any ungodly people and says, I'm going to save that one. Because he always looks on someone that's ungodly and says, they need help. That's a loving father. That's a loving father that loves you no matter what you've done. No matter what you've done, it's forgivable. It's totally forgivable. Whose idea? God. God had that idea. Since keeping the law doesn't work, let's try the gospel. And Jesus only had one message: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was amazing. Same thing John the Baptist said, and he lost his head. How many, Joe? Jesus is our head. You can't lose your head. Even though they killed him, his bones were not destroyed. And he rose up from the grave 3 days later. There he is. And now he's saying, you know, I just wanted to show you death is not the last word. Then what did he do? Taught for 40 days. And then, whoop. That was kind of for you out there. I'm almost on. All right. After that, he often taught everything, and everything he teaches, he actually gives you the ability, the capacity to believe whatever he taught. There's nothing in the Bible you can ever find, and people have hunted for years and years and years to find discrepancies or inconsistencies in the Bible. But for the last 2,000 years, they have not prevailed. It's one thing to ask a question, it's another thing to give an answer. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, that's just a question. But give the answer. Do you know the answer? Do you know why you're here? Do you know where you come from? Do you know where you're going? Do you know the purpose for which your life was made, created by God? It's to do exactly what he said, be a steward. Be the stewardship of his blessings. Did you know that you have every blessing in heavenly places? Every blessing in heaven. Everyone born again has every blessing in heavenly places. You don't even know what that means, but whatever it means, it's good. It's good. It sounds good. That God wants you to have everything in heaven. It doesn't belong to him. He's including you in his family. You're now part of the family. Two things he wants. Number one, individually, he wants you to be righteous all the way. Since you can't do it, he'll do it for you. Number two, he wants there to be justice on earth. So public justice and private righteousness. So you will be justified, sanctified, glorified by God individually. That's the key to public righteousness, love your neighbor as yourself. So now I worship God because with all my heart, with all my strength, with everything that's in me, he'll kill off the old man, get rid of the flesh, and he'll give you a brand new life. You haven't seen it yet until he comes back. You only see one thing. He said, if I believe in him, he will count me as righteous. It's written in the word, and you're not going to get any more. Even if you did get something more, it won't take you to heaven. Even if God did 5 miracles in your life today, it won't take you to heaven. No matter how God blesses you, it won't take you to heaven. What he did was die for you on that cross. And there is your righteousness. Not what you do for him, even voluntarily. No, it's what he did for you. My son, God himself will provide for himself a lamb that taketh away the sins of the world for a burnt offering. Now, let's read Ezekiel. Two things he wants: public justice and private righteousness. In the 5th and 20th year of our captivity, this is Judah speaking, She did not learn her lesson. She did not follow her 10 tribes to the north. They were learned. The Assyrians took them over. Now, this is Babylon. So the king of Babylon now has them in the 25 years of captivity in the beginning of the year. So this is springtime. In the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after the city was smitten. So Jerusalem was now destroyed by fire. He destroyed the temple. So now that's a temple that's destroyed. And later, when they rebuilt it, it wasn't as good as the first, Solomon's temple. So now that that temple is no longer there, who's the temple? Well, Jesus came down and he was the temple when he was on the earth. That was the dwelling place of the living God. Wherever God is, that's heaven. Wherever God is, that's heaven. So who does he inhabit? Jesus, the whole Godhead. The whole Godhead dwelt in Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So Jesus, as Son of Man, was on the earth so he could die for you, so that you wouldn't have to die twice. You can die physically, biologically, bios in the Greek, but you can't die spiritually. So you are now pneumatikoi. You are a spiritual being. You are right now. You don't look like it. You don't act like it. Sometimes. But it doesn't matter. His word is true, and he cannot lie. So God has spoken to us, and Jesus said, you are now, even now, you are the sons of God. Even now, you are saved. You are redeemed. And though you don't see it, believe me, what I say always comes to pass. God has never lied, never can. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. He keeps covenant. Whatever he does, whatever he promised Abraham, has to be true for the whole Jewish people. The whole Jewish people have a bright future ahead of them when they actually will see. And it could be in your lifetime. Could be now. Many of us pastors believe the signs of the times say, if you don't know the day and the hour, at least you know the season. We're in that season when things could happen. Things could happen. So, praise God. Now, I told you the time. Now, here's how the temple is built. Remember these things? You don't need anymore. If God wants you to be holy, righteous, perfect, only God can do that. Now you have a new heart. You don't have a new soul. You don't have a new body. But when Jesus comes back the second time, he won't be the priest. He won't be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He will actually be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he was born to be king. But he had to prove that he was worthy to be king by dying on the cross for you. We don't have politicians like that today who are willing to die for the people. In other words, give up their life, not physical, but in every way. If you're a representative of the people, then you don't have a right to not love them and care for them just as God does. So, the rarest thing on earth today is a politician that loves the people that he serves. First of all, 30, 40,000 people that you represent, or 50,000 people that you represent, you don't even know them. So it's hard to love people that you don't even know. But Jesus knew us. And he came down, and he was a man just like every other man, only one thing. Even though he'd emptied himself of his omniscience and his omnipresence and his omna, it doesn't matter that he's all wise and all careful and so on and so forth, he still knows everybody's heart. He knows everybody's heart. He knows that you're pure of heart or not. If you are, it's by faith. And someday you'll see it. Someday you'll see it. That will produce, if you're just men made perfect. If you're just made perfect, when a disciple is fully taught, he'll be like the master. So you'll be just like Jesus, spirit, soul, body, perfectly spiritual, no longer just biological. Biological is nothing. Biological just means you end your time here, but you're going to spend all eternity with God forever and ever, world without end. So when the Bible says forever, it just means for this world. But when it says forever and ever, it means for all the worlds that are yet to come. So you will have on earth things that heaven promised. You'll have two things. Righteous people, no sin, none. It's been forgiven on the cross, priestly. It's also been, when he comes back, you will then be righteous in every way like he is. If he does this, you does this. If he does this, you does that. You do whatever he does, and you're righteous because you are now in a relationship with God forever and ever and ever and ever. Not like Adam and Eve, where one could sin and the other could also sin. Not possible. Jesus won't take anyone unless he's perfected them. He did it. That makes it perfect. Now, everyone here is perfect. Say it. I am perfect. I want you to say it again. Say it again. I am perfect. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Now, let's say one more time. I am perfect. Now, that should make happiness in you. That should make you happy because you did nothing for that. As a gift. It was a gift. So now, if you do that, the angel sang when he was born, Jesus, when he was born, glory to God in the highest. That is the Most High God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, capital P, with God. First thing you have to do is have peace with God. Justified, sanctified, glorified. Let God finish that all off. And that's why what we're doing today is getting all the sin out of our life. How many? How many sins? All. Could be more than five. It could be 10. It could be a billion. It really doesn't matter. Because unless the Holy Spirit shows you, don't confess it. Unless the Holy Spirit shows you what sin he's working on, and he knows you really can't handle two sins at a time. So if you're on the one-a-day plan, as I am, I don't want to hear about two sins. I'm just trying to... What's that first one? get me that first one, if I could get just that. And sometimes you repeat the sin the next day. If anyone note that... Is anyone here has an anger problem? And it makes you angry when you have an anger problem, because it humbles you to be proud that you're angry. But anyway, if you're impatient, then you'll be impatient about the fact that he hasn't removed the impatience. I mean, you're gonna be locked in. So let him do it. He's God. He's the only one that's God. He's the creator of the world, the redeemer of the world, the finisher of the world, the perfecter of the world. He's everything. My all in all. So the first thing you want is peace with God, and the second thing you get is a free gift. You love your neighbor as yourself. Goodwill toward men. Never happened on the face of the earth. Nobody has ever seen that. The first part we have, first coming. The priestly work of Jesus, forgive you all your sins. Now he's going to finish off so that you're sanctified and glorified. You actually are like God. How many believe that's true? You believe it because you read it in the book. You don't have to experience it. You don't have to understand that. You don't have to want it. It's just the truth that sets you free. And so in my marriage, in my family, in my acquaintance, I pray for people daily, and I say to Peggy every morning, you're the best. You're the apple of his eye. You're the oak of righteousness. And I'm so blessed to have you as my wife. I couldn't have a better wife. I mean, she's perfect for me. And this morning, a miracle happened because she said that about me. That was a miracle. I mean, she was lying, but she said it. What she really meant was, right now, I'm okay. But in a few minutes, I'll probably yell at you and scream at you and so on and so forth. I don't care because she's perfect. It's a matter of what you believe. So the second thing that happens is you love your neighbor as yourself. That will happen when Jesus comes back again. Faith will be gone. Hope will be gone. Only love remains. The greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these, love. Now, you will see that on the earth, and you will see that will make a new heaven and an earth, because you are the new heaven and the new earth. Because he's building you as an individual, then he's building you as a company, all belonging to his church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will take everything else on the earth except one thing, my church. When he said, I will build my church, he means he will build his church, and he's doing it from heaven. When he comes back, you'll see it. The Jews will receive their king, King David. King David will be raised from the dead. He'll have to rise from the dead. The Valley of Dry Bones, it's in chapter 37 of this book. The Valley of Dry Bones is the whole house of Israel. Even Abraham will be there, Isaac will be there, they'll all be there because they believe by faith. And King David, his dying prayer was, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now God is restoring his heart, soul, strength. He had strength because he was a king. Now it's about to happen. Are you ready? The answer is yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do it one more time. I feel we had half of the people. Are you ready for Jesus to come back today?
Yes.
Yes. Just say it by faith. You don't have to want it. Just say it. Because you know that God created the world with words? He just created the world. Just said, let there be light, and there's light. All the darkness is gone. Someday all the darkness will be gone. You'll have the new heaven and the new earth. No darkness at all. All the wicked people will be in the lake of fire. And those are people that he knew. Even though he loved them, love doesn't set you free. Truth sets you free. Love doesn't set you free. Love is nice, but it won't save you. Did you hear what I just said? Until he makes love your nature when he comes back again. So, those two things, your personal righteousness and you're getting along with your neighbor, that's later. It hasn't happened yet. America today is at a struggle. It's struggling with their faith. It's struggling with their politics. It's struggling with business. It's struggling at everything. So what? Don't fret. Those are just evildoers. Pray for them. Love them. Forgive them. Bless them. Don't curse them. They're ignorant. Pray for people that are ignorant. Not because they're ignorant because they're stupid. They're not. They're very smart. And their smarts is actually killing them. Because with all the smartness of man, well, God is so loving, I'm sure he will accept everything I do. I meant to do good. You know, no, he's not going to accept that. Because your brain cannot understand God. You cannot comprehend the light. This is the spiritual light, not light. The spiritual light, that's the true light that comes into the world for every man that's born into this world. Every man. By conscience, or by the Jewish law, or by canon law, or by any law whatsoever, even the civil law. Nothing made by law will survive. Nothing. Everything will be flooded out, burned up with fire. Only by the gospel. That's the only way you get it. Free gift. Free gift. So I hope you're happy all the time, because if you're happy, you'll be holy. The minute you're happy all the time for what God did, not even what he's going to do, just what he did on the cross for you. Forgive all your sins. Let him finish his work. Let God be God. Hope you're blessed today. I didn't read the 40th chapter. I meant to. You can go home and read it, because I'm going to preach on this for the next few weeks. All right. God bless.